Welcome to the second show of Healthy Aging, where our goal is to provide our listeners with resources to increase their overall well-being. My name is Debbie Kanine, Director of Admissions for Sun Towers Retirement Community and President of the South Shore Coalition for Mental Health and Aging. Shared on our last show was part one of a two-part segment with Mr. John Bauman, who is both a professor and an attorney and known as the Inspiring Esquire. As a national internet talk show host, John has appeared on CNN Headline News and is a proud person with Parkinson's. If you have Parkinson's or just want to be uplifted, stay tuned for part two of John's presentation. Before we get started, special thanks go out to the National Parkinson's Foundation for funding not only Mr. Bauman's presentation, but also this radio show.
Leave the perspective, because a lot of you, I think, need perspective, and I need perspective as well. My son once asked me, what's the worst thing that ever happened in your life? And I said to him, well, let me think about it, Joe. And he said, Dad, why do you always have to think about things? Why can't you just answer the question? And I said, because I'm a lawyer and I think about things and I want to give you a thoughtful answer. That's pretty cool. So I came to him the next day and I said to him, nothing. Your sister didn't die. My daughter was born with a birth defect that gave her a 40% chance of living, and she lived. I imagined what her funeral would be like. It didn't happen. So I said to him, nothing. That's pretty powerful. I have Parkinson's. I can't be an attorney anymore, which is something I love to do, and I love being. But remove your blinders. This is what I mean by perspective. It occurred to me that Roddy McDowell, famous actor, took the role of the butler in this movie. It's called Overboard. And Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell were in this movie, and Goldie Hawn was a rich woman who thought she was poor for a while and then remembered that she was rich. And she was in the galley of her yacht with all of her crew, and she said to her butler, Andrew, what am I going to do? She was between worlds. And she said, was I that bad? And he said, man, Andrew, I've lost my diamond earrings somewhere between 42nd and 43rd Street. Go find them. And she was embarrassed about the way she acted. And she said, I'm so sorry. And he was taken aback. And this is what he said that I think was the reason he took the role in the first place. He said, madam, we're all born with blinders on. You've had the unique opportunity of having yours removed for a short period of time. What you do with that information is entirely up to you. Well, you've got Parkinson's, or a loved one has Parkinson's. You've had your blinders removed. Does it matter what size, what kind of car you have, what type of car you have? Does it matter how big your house is? Not when you got Parkinson's. Not when a loved one has Parkinson's. You've had your blinders removed. What you do with that information is entirely up to you. Do you find another purpose in your life? Do you find a new legacy? Do you do something to help others? It's your choice. No one's forcing you to do anything. But you've had your blinders removed, and now you can see more. And that's the important point to bring. I don't know how many chins I had, but it's at least two. That's me. I was still good looking. Don't get me wrong, but that's what I looked like. I had a red face, I had blotchy skin. You don't know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice you have. It's the only choice you have. What's interesting to me is it's actually harder to get healthy when you don't have an illness. When you don't have lung cancer, it's harder to stop smoking. When you don't have a heart attack, it's harder to stop eating fatty food. But you've got a life-changing event. You've had a life-changing event. You don't have a choice. You've got to do it. And that's what I've gotten to do. You have to continually reinvent yourself. My book actually was written, I was always going to write a book. I was thought I'd write a book about being successful as a student, being successful as a professional, and being and fortunately I got Parkinson's and I was able to write about being successful at Parkinson's. I think that's funny. That's a funny phrase. Fortunately, I got Parkinson's. It's strange. But you have to continually reinvent yourself. I could not be a lawyer anymore, 48 years old. I was having cognitive issues. I couldn't multitask. I was having, my judgment was impaired. I could tell it was, and I was fatigued. I used to sit in board meetings, board of directors meetings, and they don't call them board meetings for nothing. I would take a pin and stick it in my thigh to keep myself awake. That's how bad it got, the fatigue. And I decided I couldn't do justice to the job, so I gave up being being an attorney. What was I going to do? So I made the decision to teach. I taught at University of Louisville, and that was just for an hour a day, or 2 hours a day, and I could do that. And I enjoyed that, and I decided to help people as much as I could. I joined some boards. And then I became an inspirational speaker, and everyone loves initials after the name. JD, PhD, MD, RN, everyone loves initials. Well, mine is WJSHTHP. It's a lot of them. I'm an inspirational speaker who just so happens to have Parkinson's. That's how much I minimize my Parkinson's. Let me tell you a story about some women from Southern Indiana. They asked me to come and speak, and they didn't have a room like this, so we actually, 35 of them and I, piled into a hotel room and had a workshop. Not exactly what I imagined 35 women and myself in a hotel room was like, but sorry. So I was going to just talk, and then I said, let's do a workshop. Let's treat this like a workshop. And the first woman, I asked her, tell me about yourself, and she said, I've had Parkinson's 12 years and these are my symptoms. And I said to the second one, tell me about yourself. And she said, I've had Parkinson's for 8 years and here's my symptoms. And I went to the third one, she said, I've had Parkinson's. I said, time out, stop. You're not Parkinson's. You have an identity beyond Parkinson's. You're still the same person you were before you had Parkinson's. It's just different. Tell me about yourself. And the first woman said, I'm an architect. And there's a building that I helped build in the skyline of Indianapolis that I'm very proud of. I said, awesome. And the second one said, I grow prize-winning organic tomatoes. And that's her joy, that's what she loves to do. And that identifies what she is. And we all went on from there. And it was as if the sun came out and the clouds lifted, because the whole atmosphere of the room changed, and it changed to a positive note. And everybody enjoyed telling us who they are, and not what this disease is. Parkinson's has spurred a life-changing journey. It can happen for you. What would I be doing right now had I not gotten Parkinson's? It's Monday afternoon. I would be in my office, working as a lawyer, reviewing contracts with my door closed. What am I doing now? I get to speak to a wonderful group of people, hopefully inspire some, but at least give some information to others. Maybe helps them somewhat. If you get one thing out of this talk, I think I've done my job. Are there any positives about having Parkinson's? Let me tell you. First of all, I didn't know that I dressed like a Smurf until I went to New York City. Got to keep your sense of humor. The first time I got to Stony was in Venice, Italy. We were walking on a bridge, and I got my foot started cramping, and I was like, what is this? And I sat on the side of the road, and my wife came over and without a second thought took the hat off my head and held it upside down and said, at least make some money while you're down there. I can't make this stuff up. I played poker with my friends once a week. Nobody could tell when I got that fourth queen. I just stopped taking my medicine the day before. And my facial expression never changed. We got to go to Malaysia, and I have no idea what's written here. But again, I go back to the same theme. I can't say it enough. You can influence your experience. You can influence your experience with Parkinson's or your spouse's experience with Parkinson's. This is a slide that whenever I show, actually doctors ask me to give them a copy of because they like it so much. The six best doctors are sunshine, water, rest, air, exercise, and diet. That sums it up. And all of them are within your power. All of them are things that you can do. I say uncover your purpose. I say uncover for a purpose, for a reason. It's not create your purpose. You have a purpose. I thought my purpose was to add new jobs. When I worked at a steel company, we went from 900 employees to 1,500 employees. So I was a part of allowing 600 people to put bread on the table and a roof over their heads for their families. That was good. That felt good. That felt like a purpose. But it didn't turn out to be my purpose. My purpose is to tell my story and to try to inspire people to get as healthy as they can. Who's this guy? They never heard of him in Canada.
Really? Oh, you're lying. He's lying.
Actually, when I showed this slide in Canada, I said to them, this guy's from either France or Germany, I'm not sure. And I said, no, he's from Canada. Okay, I have a dry sense of humor. Michael J. Fox, would he have raised $400 million for Parkinson's research had he not gotten Parkinson's? No. Is it for a reason? No coincidences. I wouldn't have taught school. I taught 1,000 students. Some of them went on to law school because of my class. I'm pretty proud of that. I wrote my book. I used an old-time typewriter, and I'm helping others. That makes me feel good. That gives me a purpose. When I say live in every moment, that's okay. I like the music.
I know, it's kind of like
breaks it up a little bit.
Cabaret, right.
I was the last person admitted to my law school class at Cornell. I know that because I got a call from the dean, and she said, this is Cornell Law School calling. I don't know how a building can call me, but this is Cornell Law School calling, and we have one spot left. Would you like it? It was on a Friday afternoon. I said, when do we start? I said, Monday. Do you have where I live? She said, we have a dorm, but it's full. You have to find your own place to live. Okay. I said, I'll be there. And the compliment that they paid me by admitting me to that school, with the ivy-covered buildings and the brilliant professors and the students that were engaged, I lived in every moment for those 3 years I was there. And that's my first experience of actually living in the moment. And I try to do that every day now that I've got Parkinson's. It's almost a gift to some degree to get Parkinson's because you don't know how much longer you have to have quality of life. So if you use it that way, you live in every moment. Jim Valvano, talk about Jim Valvano. He did the most famous ESPN award speech that I've ever heard. He was riddled with cancer. He ended up living six more weeks. He got up on stage and he was brilliant. One of the things he said struck me. He said, if you laugh, you think, and you cry, whether tears of joy or tears of sorrow, every day, you've had a heck of a day. You've had a heck of a day. That's pretty powerful. Let's talk about caregivers or care partners. You get initials too. RTBDA. Rarely thanked, but definitely appreciated. Because you are rarely thanked. And what I want you to do right now is, if you're here with your care partner, if you're a person with Parkinson's, or a person with any other life-changing event, thank your care partner. Whether it's a touch of a hand, a knowing look, a kiss, don't go beyond that, just keep it PG. But let them know that you appreciate what they do for you. Hey.
Hi, you're welcome.
Decide success. there's certain principles in my book. I have 12 principles that apply to Parkinson's. Intensity, you need to do a new assessment. You've got different skills and abilities now, you need to do a new assessment. You have to have a new end vision. Raise your level of awareness. Tap into your resources and contacts. Have faith. Have faith in yourself, have faith in others, and have faith in your higher power, that there's a reason that this happened. And keep telling yourself there's a reason, and find that reason. Uncover your purpose. Some tangible takeaways. I like to have tangible takeaways. Remove your blinders. Just keep moving forward. Regain your shout. Tap into your inner strength. Uncover your purpose. Discover your joy. Believe in yourself and your team. Live in every moment. And let me end with a quote that wasn't formatted very well on the slide. Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. I spoke in San Antonio, and like I do with every talk that I have, I stay afterward and I'll talk to anyone that wants to ask me questions or talk. And the last person in line in San Antonio, it's a pretty long line, the last person, I said, do you have Parkinson's? He said, no, my wife does, but she couldn't come today because she's in a wheelchair and she wasn't feeling up to it. She was having a really bad day. But she really wanted to come. She'd seen a lot of your YouTubes and a lot of your information that you've written. She really feels awful that she didn't get to come. And I said to him, where do you live? He said, what do you mean? I said, can you get me to your house and then to the airport within 3 hours? My flight's in 3 hours. He said, yeah, if we leave right now. So we went and surprised her. And we met with her. And she was in pretty tough shape. And when he left the room, she said to me, I haven't told anybody this, but I'm thinking about taking my own life. It's not worth it anymore. I'm going to give up. And I said to her, your husband tells me you're a teacher. Yes. Who's those pictures of those kids on the wall there? So those are my grandchildren. I said, have you taught them everything? Have you taught them everything you need to teach them? She said, no. I said, then you have a reason for living. I get to do this. I get to touch people's lives. I get to change people's lives. Do that. You don't have to become an inspirational speaker. You can do whatever. You can join a support group, whatever. You can volunteer wherever. But you can do that. You can change people's lives. I don't know how I'll handle being in a wheelchair, but I think I'm going to have the same courage and positive attitude that I have today. Thank you. Do we have time for questions?
We do have time for questions. Debbie is coming up. Sorry, if you cry, I cry with you. So thank you. But yes, so Debbie would like to make a couple announcements real quick, and then we'll take some questions, okay?
I really just want a thank you to be known that John's presence, he's here today because of that grant with the National Parkinson's Foundation. We were blessed to be able to provide him a small stipend to come, and we hope to bring more speakers. And so if you know of anyone, I don't think there's anyone as dynamic as you, but if you know of anyone else that might be able to contribute to the group, please share with me. It's a terrible disease, you know, and I think the more you can come together and help each other, the better.
None of them are going to be as funny as he is.
That's right.
That's
inspirational.
And that's what I was talking to you all about. National Parkinson's Foundation, that's why it was so important that we were involved in Moving Day. They give right back to the community. They give right into that research. It is a beautiful relationship between fundraising and direct community support. And because of that, that is why we're having this wonderful afternoon with John. So please feel free. Let's ask him some questions and see
Thank
what
you.
Else we can learn from him this afternoon.
Do you have any estimate at all how many people may be walking around with Parkinson's and don't know it? You were talking about being misdiagnosed. I think we went to 7, maybe 8 different doctors.
The question is,
9 months to find out, finally find someone who could make the correct diagnosis. In fact, the first neurologist we went to said, you need to go see a psychiatrist.
Oh my God.
You're depressed and anxious. That we kept hearing, depressed and anxious. I can't tell you how many times.
Question is, how many people are there out there with Parkinson's that don't even know it? And there's such misinformation that the first neurologist he went to actually asked him to go to see a psychiatrist. And they estimate 1.5 million people in the United States. And when you ask somebody when they were diagnosed with Parkinson's, they'll give you when they first had Parkinson's, they'll give you two answers: the day they were diagnosed and the day they actually, looking back, had it. And it's usually years apart. I can remember the first time I had an issue. I was putting, playing golf. Anyone play golf? And I couldn't putt. It was going that way. My fine motor skills in my right hand were not working. So my pro turned myself around and I putted lefty, and I could do it. So that was my first signal. May have been losing my sense of smell. It's amazing the lack of information in the medical community.
But I also think it's important to understand that there's a large, spectrum of people that have different types of symptoms. So you may have essential tremor, you may have other issues with balance and gait and things like that. So you may not be diagnosed with Parkinson's, but maybe a form of Parkinsonian, that's what they call it, right?
Thank you, Dr. Baumann.
Care partners are often known to know a lot more, right?
She actually, on her honeymoon in Hawaii, she saw someone on the next table, his hand was shaking, and she said, he has Parkinson's, we have to tell him. I said, I'm not going to tell him. And I don't think you should tell him. But she did.
Yeah, but his daughter did come up to me and say, I know, I've been trying to get her to go to a neurologist. And she's afraid.
Yeah,
they're afraid.
I just wondered if you could tell us a little bit about Lewy bodies. I've gotten to the point, I think I'm crying about you.
Oh my God, don't cry about me.
I've gotten to the point where I can't add or subtract, so of course I can't do the checkbook or...
You know,
I just read about it.
Okay, Dr. Baumann.
Dr. Baumann, here she comes. I just read about this. You know, Robin Williams was affected with the Lewy body disease, and it is a very aggressive, horrible
form
that attacks your brain, and that was part of what he couldn't handle, because he could feel himself deteriorating, and his wife has talked about it publicly, and I just happened to watch some videos just last week, because it just happened to be coming up, and it's Parkinson's Awareness Month, so listening to, I think her name is Robin, talk about it, and that was part of what he was having trouble with dealing with. But I think staying positive and staying together with your family and your friends, the people that love and care about you, the support is really going to be crucial for you to maintain the wellness and the quality of the life that you want to live. So remember that. You have lovely people around you. Yeah, and he did too.
If you have questions about resources in our area or about Parkinson's in general and would like to learn more about our support group, please call the South Shore Coalition for Mental Health and Aging or visit our website at mentalhealthandaging.org. That phone number to call is area code 813-419-4902. Be sure to tune in to our next show, where our goal is to provide all of our South Shore community neighbors with healthy aging options for both mind and body. This is Debbie Kinnean inviting you to enjoy the programs on our local radio station, and thanks for listening.